to this, our second service online for 2021. It's lovely to be able to gather together this morning to lift our praises to the Lord and to hear his words preached and to also lift up our prayers. So let us just bow our heads in a time of prayer to dedicate this time to the Lord. Let us pray. Our loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you brought us out of the things that we've been doing this week, the things that have occupied our minds, our attention, that we may come and fully focus on you. We pray, Lord, that in amongst all the anxiety and chaos that's all around us, that we may find our peace in you. So specifically for this time this morning, may this reset us, that we don't dwell on those things that cause us anxiety and worry and concern, and that we look to you, Lord, for our answers. In you there is all truth. In you there is everlasting peace. So we dedicate this time to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let us continue to dwell with the Lord, shall we, as we join together to sing our first hymn. And you'll be able to find the words in the description below this video. We're going to rest in the Lord as we sing together, "Be still for the presence of the Lord." Let us sing. Scripture today, and you'll be able to find this Luke chapter 2 verses 22 to 40. Luke chapter 2 verses 22 to 40. This is Jesus is presented in the temple. The time came for Joseph and Mary to perform the ceremony of purification, as the law of Moses commanded. So they took the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be dedicated to the Lord. They also went to offer a sacrifice of a pair of doves or two young pigeons, as required by the law of the Lord. At that time, there was a man named Simeon living in Jerusalem. He was a good, God-fearing man and was waiting for Israel to be saved. The Holy Spirit was within him and had assured him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's promised Messiah. Led by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple. When the parents brought the child, Jesus, into the temple to do for him what the law required, Simeon took the child in his arms and gave thanks to God. "Now, Lord, you have kept your promise, and you may let your servant go in peace. With my own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to reveal your will to the Gentiles and bring glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at the things Simeon said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is chosen by God for the destruction and salvation of many in Israel. He will be a sign from God which many people will speak against, and so reveal their secret thoughts. And sorrow, like a sharp sword, will break your own heart." There was a very old prophet, a widow named Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She had been married for only 7 years and was now 84 years old. She never left the temple. Day and night she worshipped God, fasting and praying. That very same hour, she arrived and gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were waiting for God to set Jerusalem free. I've been reading recently, in fact, as part of our study of Mark's Gospel, whilst we've actually been here in church, we've seen some of the reactions that there have been to Jesus over who he is. And he asks the question, doesn't he, of his disciples time and time again, "Who do you say that I am?" He asks this in different ways, and I think pretty much where we got up to before we were dispersed to worship online remotely like this, we saw that Jesus actually asked that question directly of his disciples, and that is quite a radical turning point in how the disciples viewed him and their personal faith in Jesus. But it's interesting, I think, to look at how people responded to Jesus throughout Scripture. And not only do we have the image of the apostles, the disciples, who struggled to get their head around exactly who Jesus is, we see in Scripture also that his family found it a challenge. I've been reading just this week about how Jesus' brothers responded to him, and how his family responded to and saw him is very interesting as well. In fact, if we read through Scripture, we find out that his family seemed to, like the apostles, only really have realized who Jesus is, even though they'd heard it said many times by many different people. They only really grasped this for themselves after Jesus' resurrection. And you can see this by the response of some of Jesus' brothers, those who in Scripture don't seem to grasp the fact, then after the resurrection become leaders of the early church. And we see this in Scripture. So being the first to hear something doesn't always mean you're the first to understand. And I'm sure you can resonate with this, as you perhaps recall sitting in a maths class, perhaps, at school. Some of us don't get it straight away, do we? We sit and we listen, and we might be one of the first to hear the lesson, but it doesn't mean that we actually grasp what's behind, what's the meaning, the grasp an understanding of a concept. And certainly this seems to be the case as the gospel is preached, as Jesus preaches to people. There are people who hear the message first who don't understand, and there are people who have heard the message perhaps by word of mouth who it seems do understand. But in Luke's birth narrative, Mary, as we have heard, is the first to be told that Jesus will be the Messiah, and her obedience is wonderful. Luke adds that she treasures the words of the angel Gabriel as he speaks to her. But also, this passage tells us that Mary is also puzzled by the divine message. Some translations say she is troubled, some say she is perplexed. And it's not surprising, isn't it? Getting your head round exactly what this means. Okay, this is a gift from God. You will bear this son and you'll call him Emmanuel, God with us. But what does this actually mean? What does this actually look like? It must have been a constant thing that Mary and indeed Joseph must have wondered. And it does say in scripture that as the angel greets Mary, that she must ponder the meaning of these words. And she must have done so throughout her life. Sometimes the motherly instincts would have kicked in, I'm sure, and not wanting to see Jesus come to any harm. She would have wanted to keep him safe and protected. And perhaps it wasn't until after he'd been crucified and resurrected that even Mary understood what it meant for Jesus being the Messiah. And scripture seems to testify to that fact. And in this, Mary contrasts sharply with the characters we hear of in this reading today, Simeon and Anna, two elderly individuals who happen to be in the temple when Mary and Joseph bring the infant Jesus into the temple at Jerusalem for the first time. Now, according to Luke, in the passage that we've just read, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And it's written that in Exodus, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered, according to the law, as it says to do in Leviticus, an offering of two young pigeons or turtle doves. At the temple, the family is there ready to do what every other family does for a young born son. And they are approached by a man named Simeon, who's been told by the Holy Spirit that he will see the Messiah before he dies. The Spirit has come upon him and told him that this will happen. And we have this wonderful image, don't we, of after all that Mary and Joseph have already been through, of actually seeing someone recognize Jesus for who he is, and more than that, understanding it. Simeon takes Jesus in his arms and he praises God. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. Having seen the Messiah, Simeon knew that he could now die in peace. The Lord had delivered on his promise, and Simeon knew that in his heart. And then Anna approaches the Holy Family, and she too recognizes Jesus as the Messiah. But she has a different reaction to Simeon. At the moment she saw this, she came and began to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption in Jerusalem. So for one, it gives peace and able to draw to a conclusion a story that needed to be told. And for the other, for Anna, this seems to be the start of a new story where she wants to start telling it to people straight away. Now, she's not a young woman. You wouldn't think this is the time to start a new story and the person to start a new story with, but this can give us great enthusiasm for the gospel, that even if we grasp it in our later years, and Anna was 84, that God can still use us to start spreading the good news. She is 84, and yet according to Luke, She does not die, but she wants to go and evangelize. She becomes really the first evangelist of this message. And like the disciples who will follow her, she is driven to bear witness to this new story. Mary was the first to have the good news announced to her, and she didn't fully grasp it, although she was incredibly faithful in the mission she was given. But Anna is the first woman, the first person who seems to understand fully and proclaim it to others. What a wonderful character, what a wonderful person to be able to follow in the footsteps of that we have here, Anna. And she wasn't a young and dynamic thing, she was a faithful old lady. And that tells us about something about our worth in the eyes of God, doesn't it? It's never too late, we're never too old, God can use us. And in addition to being an evangelist, Anna, we have already heard, is a prophetess. In fact, she is the only woman in the New Testament explicitly described as a prophet. And unlike Simeon, Anna is not just visiting the temple. She's not just been led there on this day as Simeon has, which in itself was a powerful thing to happen, but she is someone who dwells in the temple, praying faithfully, worshipping God day after day, night after night. According to Luke, Anna never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and praying. She was perhaps part of some kind of order of widows who had specific religious functions in the temple. We hear that she had only been married 7 years, and so the majority of her life would have been dedicated to this. What an incredible, faithful woman she is. She may have been able to undertake this role in the temple also because she was no longer in the periodic state, meaning that she didn't have to go outside of the temple at certain times. She was able to dwell there, seen as clean all the time, which was important according to Jewish law. Luke may also have seen Anna as the second witness in the temple that needed to validate Jesus' significance. And we see how Luke does this, and in fact, God does this, and Luke points it out to us throughout scripture. In Deuteronomy, it stresses the importance of having two witnesses of any event, and Luke delivers this in his writings to us. The pairing of Simeon and Anna reflects Luke's male and female parallelism within this as well, when he writes about the recipients of divine blessing and salvation. The story of Jesus' birth, you remember, is framed by the testimonies of Elizabeth and Zechariah, and then of Mary and Joseph, and now of Anna and Simeon. Interestingly, in all three, the women are portrayed as the more positive examples of discipleship. The women are not only more receptive to the message, but they are more willing to act upon it straight away. With Elizabeth realizing that a cousin is carrying the Messiah and praising God for the blessing, with Mary saying, "Let it be done as you say," and with Anna getting up and immediately spreading the good news. The difference between Anna and Simeon provides a clue to Luke, from Luke as a salvationist historian, a chronicler of the mighty acts of God for his people through the ages. Yes, a Messiah has arrived, and Simeon recognizes this, but Anna suggests that a new era with a new living voice and a new prophecy has at the same time dawned. Think about it this way. Unsaved people sing the old song. They sing about the faith that has been passed down, that has been there through the centuries. But the saved people sing a new song to God because of Jesus and because of the living faith that flows through them. And that is what Anna is doing. She is now singing a new song to God. and God would be well pleased with this. And in this new era, the living voice of God will continue to speak about the Messiah, first through Jesus, then through his apostles, the disciples, and many other people who would be followers, his disciples, throughout the earth. And Anna, if you think about it, is the first in that long line of disciples spreading the good news, speaking about the redemption for Israel and the hope for Gentiles. But not everyone can be a prophet. People have different roles that they're given by God. Mary, for example, she doesn't fully understand and grasp the role that Jesus will have in his life. She has obedience, though, and obedience to God. But Anna immediately recognizes this. Mary will eventually recognize this, but it will take her several years. In fact, 12 years after the presentation of Jesus in the temple, we see that Mary still hasn't quite understood. The Holy Family returns to Jerusalem and Jesus returns to the temple, you remember. This time he's by himself, and Mary and Joseph are frantically exploring the place, looking, searching for him for 3 days, when at last they find him listening to and asking questions of the teachers in the temple. And Mary asks, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And Jesus responds, "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And Luke reports that they did not understand what he said to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And that's a heart of obedience, isn't it? Of hearing the truth, recognizing it, and even if you don't fully understand it at the time, to treasure it up in your heart and to hold on to it, realizing that it's a wonderful gift. Luke's idea is perhaps that complete acceptance of the word of God, complete understanding of who Jesus is, and complete discipleship is not possible until the resurrection has happened. And perhaps for us, until we fully embrace the resurrected Lord, the truth about exactly who he is, maybe there's some kind of a barrier for us, not being able to understand the cross, not being able to understand the resurrection, not being able to understand who the Messiah is. But even if you're struggling today to fully grasp it and understand it, treasure these things up in your heart. Let Mary be the example of that for you. But let Anna be the example for you also, that you can know and understand, and that you too can sing a new song to God by spreading this wonderful good news. So who is the Messiah? Well, he is God incarnate. God himself come down to earth in human form from the heavens so that he may redeem us from sin. Jesus was both God, fully God, and fully man. We cannot add or remove to his deity. We cannot add or remove from his humanity. During his life on earth, Jesus lived a perfect life. He was blameless. He could do nothing wrong, and he was the perfect sacrifice alone for the sins of the world. Yet he also experienced human emotions such as sadness and anxiety. And the reason that we as Christians believe Christ is not only here to provide a cleansing of sin for us, that he's also here to have a relationship with us, is because we believe that he is exactly who he said he was when he was with us on earth in human form. And through his bodily resurrection, he validated and affirmed all his teachings on earth and proved that he is indeed the Messiah, the Son of God. He taught, he died, He rose again. His authority is there for all to be seen. He has victory over death, and he promises the same for us if we follow him. As Jesus ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, he continues to act as our high priest, as heavenly advocate, allowing us to approach God and be in his full presence. And he promises this for us, not just in the future. He promises it for us now. And not just for the short term, but for all eternity. That is the Messiah that Anna and Simeon met in the temple. Well, let us sing of this wonderful Messiah who came as a babe, as we sing, "From heaven you came, helpless babe." And again, I invite you to follow the words that are in the description below this video, and we can sing together. Let us sing. We thank you that this is a blessing that continues well on into eternity, that everyone who calls on your name will be saved. Help us, Lord, to call on your name at all times and in all places, to trust in you, in your truth, to rest in your peace. And as we look out into the world today, Lord, in the midst of another lockdown in this country, in the midst of so much uncertainty, of so much death and suffering, we pray, Lord, that for your protection. We pray for your peace. We pray, Lord, that this shall not last, but that this shall come to an abrupt end, leading to people not fearing for their loved one's health, fearing for how they can get through their next shift at the hospital, living in fear in all sorts of ways. But may we as Christians, Lord, as followers of you, not fear, but put our trust in you, that no matter what happens now in eternity, we will be with you. So we thank you for this truth, and we hold on to it, and it gives us peace. But we lift to you all those people, Lord, who perhaps don't have that peace. May it be shared with them. May they come to understand. May they treasure these things up in their hearts. And may they grow and continue to understand them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray now the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. May God be with you today, and may you know his blessing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.